Welcome to Gateway Church's podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you're encouraged by today's message.
So, we're in a series called Jesus in the Center. James preached the first message, I did the second, and then James did last week. And so this week, Jesus in the center of your thoughts. Can you imagine if Jesus was in the center of your thoughts? But I'm going to take it a different way than you might think. And that is, I already know who is in the center of our thoughts and needs to be replaced. We are. We think way too much about ourselves. We think way too much about what other people think of us. We think sometimes that we are better than others. We think sometimes we are worse than others. Many of us have a tendency when we come to church to think, I shouldn't even be worshiping with the rest of these holy people because of the thoughts that I had this week or the failure that I had this week. And we think about ourselves. And so I'm going to be talking about that, all right? So Luke chapter 7, verse 36 says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, this woman comes in a moment, we'll see, and anoints his feet, and she stands behind him. And she uses her tears and fragrant oil. There was another woman who anointed his feet and his head. Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 12. That was Mary, the sister of Martha, and the sister of Lazarus. These are not the same. They don't happen the same chronologically, and they're not the same. But this is in Simon's house, so some people who don't really know the Bible think it's the same. Simon was a very common name. By the way, there were two Simon disciples. Two out of 12 named Simon. And there were also two, I don't know whether to break this to you or not. I had to break it to my son, James. We think there were two named James, but James is not a Hebrew name. They were actually named Jacob. So King James, when he translated the Bible, 1611, he wanted his name in the Bible, so he changed the name Jacob to James in the New Testament. I'm sorry, okay? I didn't know that when we named you. I thought we were giving you a biblical name. But Jacob, the son, the brother, Jacob, was the brother of John and Jacob, the brother of Jesus. But there were Simon the Zealot and Simon Peter. Okay, so Simon was a very well-known name. This is Simon the Pharisee, and the other, where Mary anointed the feet, was Simon the leper. And he had been healed by Jesus, but he was still called the leper, but he was able to have people in his home and own a home then, okay? All right, so I just want you to know this is a different woman than Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And it says she was a sinner. Now, I want to give you the definition from the Strong's lexicon. Lexicon only simply means dictionary. Lexi means words. Con means definition. So it's just the definition of words. That's all a lexicon is, all right? But this is what the Strong Enhanced Lexicon says about this Greek word, all right? I want to put it on the sin. This is a person devoted to sin, a sinner, not free from sin, still in bondage to sin. Now watch this, preeminently sinful. Now you may not be familiar with the word imminent, but imminent means first, and pre means before. So before, God is preeminent. So what this means is that among sinful people, she was actually before the first sinful person, before the first whoever was the best sinful person, she was actually better, okay? That's what this means. By the way, this is the person I relate to in the story. Especially wicked. Specifically, a man stained, and this is a moral term, with certain definite vices or crimes. So this is where we get that most theologians believe she was a prostitute. We don't know for sure, but it seems like because of the way she's spoken about that she was a prostitute, okay? All right, so go back to verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him because of her shame, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. Now let me just stop for a moment. He spoke to himself. Another way of saying that is he thought. You speak to yourself all the time, and you're not crazy, okay? Some of you are, but most of you aren't crazy. We speak to ourselves. Think about how many times you go over stuff in your mind. So this is just thinking. He spoke, but he didn't say it out loud. It's very important to the story. He spoke to himself, saying, I love this, this man, watch, if he were a prophet, I just like if he were a prophet, because you're going to find out in a minute that he was a prophet. He was the prophet. If he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is. In other words, she's probably a prostitute who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, oh, I love this word, answered. Nobody asked him anything. Simon just had a thought, and Jesus answered his thoughts. Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. And then he tells a parable. You have to remember this is a parable, and it's a very misunderstood parable. And this message is going to have a surprise ending because people totally misunderstand this parable. And so here's this parable. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other, and the verb implied here is owed 50. So they both owed 500 and 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, notice the word nothing, he freely, this is grace period, by the way, freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, now this is very important, you have rightly judged. Now, I'm not going to get to my punchline yet, but I want you to remember he's answering his thoughts. And basically what he says is, the way you think, your judgment about this woman is correct. You've made a judgment about her, and your judgment is correct according to the way you think. Oh, this is going to get so good. Then he turns to the woman, but he's still talking to Simon. And he said, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. Remember, they had sandals and they walked on dusty, dirty roads. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. We could put in there dirty, because remember, he didn't give anything to wash his feet with since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet. And again, remember, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anointed his head too, with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, her sins are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now, I'm going to come back to that loved much because it's not past tense. It's not loved past tense in the Greek. It's actually a verb here. She loves much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. In the Message, where it says she loves much, it says she is very, very grateful because her sins have been forgiven. In the New Living Translation, it says she has shown me great love because her sins have been forgiven. Okay, so we're going to talk in a moment about the differences. And there's a big difference, one owed 500, one owed 50. Jesus said that, all right? But remember, it's a parable, okay? A parable is, it comes from the Greek word para, P-A-R-A, parabole. Para means alongside, below, bole means to throw. So let me give you another word that you might know, parakletos. Now, people all the time mispronounce it and say paraclete, talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete. Actually, in the Greek, it's parakletos. Para means alongside, kletos means to come. That was better to think. The Holy Spirit would like to come alongside you. That's pretty good, and help you, okay? So a parable is to throw alongside. Jesus would throw a story alongside a truth so you could understand the truth. That's where we get the word parable, okay? All right, so he tells a parable, so I know there's a difference. We're gonna talk about the difference. That's the punchline, 50 and 500. But let's talk just for a moment about the similarities. I've never heard anybody preach about the similarities of this passage, all right, of the parable. Here's number one. Number one, they both owed. They both owed, is that right? Okay, so let me just tell you something. Last night, Debbie and I have a hot tub, you know, and we like to sit in it at the end of the day and just talk and, you know, just, and the weather's been really nice, you know, and so I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to talk about you in the Message. She said, oh, great. And she said, so what are you preaching on? I said, I'm preaching on the Pharisee and the prostitute. She said, which one am I? Because I don't want to be either one, personally. I'm definitely not a prostitute, and I don't want to be a Pharisee either. Now, let me just say something about Pharisees. Pharisees, for most part, were legalistic, judgmental, critical, prideful. We understand that. Jesus rebuked them many times. It's actually where we get the word pharisaical. We say, you know, boy, you're a pharisaical person. In other words, you're a judgmental, prideful, critical person. But there were some Pharisees that were devout. There were some Pharisees that loved God, such as Nicodemus. Nicodemus brought 100 pounds of spices to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. Nicodemus, we know, got converted and became a Christian. We also know that Nicodemus was the richest, youngest ruler in all of Israel. And if you remember, a rich, young ruler came up to Jesus, and Jesus said, sell everything. And we also know that Nicodemus actually sold everything and gave it to the poor. That's why Nicodemus's best friend was Joseph of Arimathea. That's why they put Jesus in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, because Nicodemus had sold his. This good stuff. If y'all don't know good, it's good stuff. Okay, so, but here's the point. Nicodemus, by the way, Pharisees, there were some Pharisees very devout, such as Nicodemus, and I could name four others, but that we know of in Scripture. But Nicodemus also, he all Pharisees had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Memorize. Let me just remind you, if you've forgotten, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that's the book you fudge in when you read through the Bible in a year, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And just for fun, because it'd be great if there was, but I don't think there will be anybody. Is there anybody here, if I asked you to stand up right now, could quote every word in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers? Is there anyone? Can I just see your hand? I'd like to just see if it's okay. You're just all heathens. You're just all heathens. All right. So am I. There were some that were devout. Here's the point. When we talk about this, obviously I relate to the prostitute because I was extremely sinful, but Debbie was devout. She loved God. She memorized scripture. She prayed. She went to church. So there were some Pharisees that were that way. Okay, yeah, is everyone following me okay? All right, so I'm gonna talk about Robert and Debbie some through this, all right? All right, but remember Luke 7:41, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other, and again, the implied verb is owed 50. One owed 500, one owed 50, but they both owed. They both owed. I just want to just show you the similarities. Did they both owe, yes or no? Yes. They both owed. All right. Now, we're talking about now spiritually. Okay, Jesus is trying to throw a truth of them owing denarii, which is a day's wage, 50 of the day's wage, and 500. So one would be 1/6, and one would be like it'd be more. Two-thirds. Okay, so he's trying to throw a truth. So he's talking about how much we owe God spiritually. All right? So let me just show you Romans 3, which is quoting, by the way, it's quoting Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. If you go to Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, it's almost word for word. Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written. So again, it's written in Psalm 14, Psalm 53. As it is written, there is none righteous. Now, obviously, now this whole context of Romans 3 and 4 is grace. So basically what he's saying is, without grace, there's none righteous. And then he says this, no, not one. There is none who understands. This is scripture. There is none who seeks after God. How many people without grace seek after God? None. You know what's amazing is I felt the unbelief in that room right now. I felt like, well, I sought after God. No, God sought after you first. Okay. They have all turned aside. All. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. I love these three words. No, not one. I think he put the no, not one in there because he knew we were going to argue. There is none who does good, but no, not one. No, shut up, no. No. Yeah, but God, no. No, not one. Not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God or the standard of God. All. Can I ask you a question? This is a real easy question. What does the Greek word for all mean? All, yeah. For all have sinned. So all owe. All owe. Everyone's bankrupt before God. All right, so here's number two. They both couldn't pay. They both couldn't pay. All right, so I just want to bring it again because y'all know Debbie was a saint, I was a sinner. Okay, neither Robert nor Debbie could pay for their sins. I just want you to know, neither one of us could pay for our sins. Luke 7:42, and when they had nothing with which to pay. So see, the one who owed 50 didn't have 49 and just owed a little. He had nothing. The one who owed 50 had nothing the one who had 500. Here's, we're bankrupt before God, spiritually. Spiritually. Okay, so there are two Greek words in the New Testament for poor. One is penes. It's spelled P-E-N-E-S, would be the English transliteration, penes. It means the working poor. It means they can work one day, and if they want to eat, they have to work that day. If they don't work that day, they don't eat. But it means the working poor. Some of you are, you know, that's us, honey. We're the working poor, okay? That's the working poor. But it's not the word Jesus used when he preached on the Beatitudes. Remember, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. By the way, he didn't say blessed are the poor. He said blessed are the poor in spirit. So he's talking about being spiritually poor. You're spiritually poor. Blessed are the ones who recognize that without God they're bankrupt. That's what he's saying. All right, but he didn't use the working poor. He didn't use penes. He used tukos. Tukos. It's spelled P-T, and the P is silent. O-C-H-O-S. Tukos, all right? Here's what it means. The begging poor. The cringing, cowardly, hide in the dark, disfigured poor. There were corners, and I've seen those corners in Jerusalem. They're still there to this day, where the poor people would sit so that they would be in the dark, the tukos people. And someone would give them a tin cup, and they would put the tin cup out, but they would sit in the dark so no one could see. But they were maimed. They were crippled. Some people who are disabled can still work. Many can. Many, many, many can. But some people are so disabled they can't work. That's what he was describing. If someone did not put something in the cup, they did not eat that day. Let me say it in other words, another way. If someone did not have mercy on them, they would die. And Jesus said, let me tell you how poor you are before God. You can't even work for one day in heaven. If someone doesn't come along and have mercy on you, you're going to die. And of course, Jesus is the one that not only came along, but he picked us up out of the corner, and he healed us, and he set us on the right road. So they both owed, they both couldn't pay, and I just want to bring it again. Robert and Debbie both owed. Robert, Debbie, both couldn't pay. Here's number three, similarity. They both were freely forgiven. Luke 7:42, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them. Can I just remind you, what were you like when you first got saved? Let me ask you a question. Did you have all your doctrine right? Did you have all the scriptures figured out when you first got saved? No. You were bankrupt. You just came to God and said, God, if you want me, you can have me. But I can't change. And God freely forgave you. So he uses, now let's talk about the differences. He uses 50 and 500. So if 50 is the best, that's the best. That's Mother Teresa and Debbie. That's the best, okay? If 500 is the worst, and I just thought of something, I'm gonna do it just for fun because he's my best friend. That's Robert Morris and Steve Doolin before he got saved. You were pretty bad. Melody, would you agree? Yeah, he was a jerk. Okay, so If 50's the best and 500's the worst, but I'm gonna go even worse than what Steve and I were. Let's say 500 has broken all 10 commandments. Now, I added up one time and I'd broken 9. I didn't murder anybody. I thought about it, but I didn't murder anybody. And according to Jesus, he said, if you thought about it, you did it, you know, so, okay. But let's just say you've broken all 10. So if 50 is the best and 500 is the worst. Now, I just want you to think, because I'm talking about Jesus in the center of your thoughts. Where are you? Most of us would say, well, I'm somewhere in between. I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. I mean, I haven't yet done all of it. Okay. Years ago, let me say this first. I just got a letter back from Franklin Graham. I wrote Franklin, Billy Graham's son. He and Franklin and I are good friends. He did a special with Michael W. Smith on Fox, as some of you saw it on Easter, and I sent him a text about it. But I just invited him to receive. We get every year at the King's University in the fall, we give the Jack W. Hafer Lifetime Achievement Award. And so we've selected Franklin this year, and I sent him a letter inviting him to receive it, and he sent it back. And typical Franklin, I said, well, you know, we want to give you the award, and we want to, you know, give you an honorarium and pay all your expenses. And he sent back, yes, I'll receive the award, but no, you can't pay my expenses, and no, you can't give me an honorarium. That's Franklin Graham. So anyway, Franklin Graham's father, which some of you did not know but maybe never heard him preach, maybe you did. Debbie, that's how she got saved. She was 9 years old. She went to visit her grandmother for a week. And back then, you're not going to believe this, some young people, we had 3 channels. And by the way, if the president was on, your whole night was sung. He's on all 3, you know. But on these 3 channels, CBS, ABC, NBC, anybody remember these? Okay. At 7 o'clock, Debbie's grandmother turned on Billy Graham. At 8 o'clock when it's over, Debbie was thinking, thank God, you know, we can watch something else. Guess what? She changed the channel. Billy Graham was on that channel for a whole nother hour. And when he finished at 9 o'clock, she changed it to the other one, and he was on that one. And for 5 nights the whole week, she watched Billy Graham 3 times every night. But at the end of that week, she thought, you know what? One day my grandmother's going to die. Billy Graham would say, where are you going to go when you die? And she thought, I want to go where my grandmother's going to go. And that's how she got saved. But Billy Graham back then was on the Tonight Show. Johnny Carson was the host. I'm not going to ask you how many remember Johnny Carson. I do. But Johnny Carson said, Dr. Graham, have you ever broken any of the 10 commandments? You know what his answer was? He said, oh yeah. He said, I've broken all of them. Murder, adultery. He said, Dr. Graham, did you understand the question? And Dr. Graham said, oh yeah. He said, I've broken all of them. He said, you see, Johnny, the Bible says if you've broken one, then you've broken all of them. And then Billy Graham looks right in the camera on national television and said, you see, all of us have sinned, and all of us need a Savior, and that's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ right now, you can be saved. And Johnny Carson said, we'll be back after these messages. Okay, so I'm asking you, where are you? Are you a 50 or a 500? I have news for you. You're all 500s. You're all 500s. You've broken all of them. So why did he tell this? Why did Jesus tell this parable? Well, remember, you got to remember, here's the key. He was answering Simon's thoughts. It says Simon spoke to himself, and Jesus answered. Do you know he did this a lot in Scripture? Can I just show you a few verses? Luke 5:22, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Luke 6:8, but he knew their thoughts. Luke 9:47, but Jesus knew their thoughts. Luke 11:17, but he knowing their thoughts. Matthew 9:4, but Jesus knowing their thoughts. Matthew 12:25, but Jesus knew their thoughts. So he's answering their thoughts. Simon had a holier than thou attitude. By the way, did y'all know that phrase holier than thou? Do you know where it came from? It came from the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now, it's even in the Message version, but it was originally in the Old King James. Listen to this, Isaiah 65:5. They say, keep your distance. Don't touch me. I'm holier than thou. Listen to what God says. These people gag me. That's why I decided to read the Message version. I like it. These people make me upchuck. See, Simon thought he was a 50. And he thought this woman was a 500. Okay, this parable, please do not miss this, does not teach that some people are worse than others. It teaches that some people think that they are better than others. That's what it teaches. And here's what he was saying. Because you think that you've only been forgiven for 50, you don't love me very much. You didn't do one thing to welcome me into your home. But because this woman thinks that she's been forgiven for 500, she loves me much. And she's very, very grateful. Okay, so here's my closing that I want to share with you. When I got saved, I fell in love with Jesus. I mean, I was bad. I committed sins in the church. I went to church growing up. The first time I smoked a cigarette was behind the church building. First time I smoked a joint was between the Sunday school temporary classrooms. The first time I was immoral with a girl was in a Sunday school classroom. And when I got saved in a motel room, not a church, you know, you don't have to be saved in church. You're not going to die in a funeral home. It's convenient, but it's probably not going to happen. That's funny. I don't care who you are. But I was in a motel room, Jake's Motel, room 12. Here's what I said. I'll never forget. I said this to God. If there's anyone who deserves to go to hell, it's me. Because I did all these sins in your house. And I got saved, and I fell so in love with Jesus. And I started reading the Bible every day. I read it sometimes for hours, 10 hours a day sometimes. I told Debbie one night, I said, Jesus is more real to me than you are. And she loved it. She got a new husband, but she grew up in church. And then she read Luke 7, that the one who's been forgiven little loves little. The one who's been forgiven much loves much. And she thought, I'll never love God as much as Robert does. That's the interpretation a lot of people have of this. But what she didn't realize was it took the same blood to save her. And she'd broken all the commandments too. You break one, you break them all in God's eyes. So she was in church after that, and she was worshiping. Please, when we worship, worship. Please don't sing. Please don't, just sing. Please don't think about what your meeting is next week. Please worship God. You can't imagine what God can do in your life during worship. Listen, the message is not the best part of the service. Worship is. And so she's in worship one day. This is back when we were at Shady Grove Church, our Grand Prairie campus. And she got down on her face before God. If you can't get down on your face or kneel where you are, just sit down. Just say, God, I just need to meet with you today. I just need to meet with you. She just got down on her knees and then she put her face in the carpet. She's thinking, I want to love you like Robert loves you, but I can't. I can't love you like Robert loves you because I haven't been forgiven much. And she had a vision. You know, God still gives visions. It's in Scripture. She had a vision that she was in a white wedding dress. And Jesus was her groom, and he was in a white robe, and she was saw her groom and he held his arms out. She went running to meet her groom. And all of a sudden she fell in a mud puddle. She didn't know was there. And she said, I was covered in mud. Every inch of my skin had mud on it. Every part of my wedding dress. There wasn't one white part of the wedding dress left. Every hair was covered in mud. I was totally 100% covered in mud. And she said in the mud puddle, I thought, I didn't want to be muddy for the Lord. I'm covered. I can't get out. I can't clean up. I can't do this. But she said these things went through her mind of attitudes she'd had when she was a child. And since she'd even accepted Christ. And thoughts that she had, and she said she thought, I'm as bad as Robert. I'm just as sinful. I'm sinful. I'm covered in sin. I'm covered in mud. And all of a sudden in her vision, she opened her eyes like this on her hands and knees. And there was a foot there, standing on top of the mud with a nail print in it. The mud wasn't touching it. No mud. And she followed that foot up, and then there was the robe, and there was Jesus, white robe, no mud. And he put his hand down, and there was the nail print. And she put her hand in his hand, and when she put her hand in his hand, all of the mud went off of her. All of it, off her skin, out of her hair, off her face, off her wedding dress, and she became in that white, beautiful wedding dress, clean as she could be. And he lifted her up, and they danced on top of the mud. And she never got dirty. And then the mud turned to like a sea of glass. And she was dancing with her groom. And she thought, I'm clean. I'm clean. And she said, the Lord said to her, now you can love me as much as Robert loves me because you know how much it cost me to save your soul. I saved you just like I saved Robert. You see, the same grace that got me out of that sin kept her from ever going into that sin. It's the same grace. And I'm telling you, if you want Jesus in the center of your thoughts, get yourself out of the center of your thoughts and put Jesus in the center of your thoughts. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to just think about, what areas do you struggle in? Because Jesus died for you. He paid the price for these areas. Your thoughts, your actions, your struggles, your bondages, your failures. I just want you to know that some of you aren't 50s and some of you aren't 500s. We're all 500s. But Jesus paid the price, took all the mud off of us because of what he did on the cross. And I want you to just, you might just tell the Lord, I told the Lord today something in worship. I just said, Lord, when they were singing, I Surrender All, I said, Lord, I need you to help me. I remember singing that as a young man. I need you to help me surrender all again today. So whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, would you just ask him to help you? Just say, Holy Spirit, would you help me? I need a fresh wind. I need a fresh fire. We don't need to think of ourselves as better than or worse than. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I want to tell you, thank you. Thank you for this parable. And I understand many people have misunderstood it. But I thank you, Lord, that we all owed, we all couldn't pay, and we've all been freely forgiven. And I pray, Lord, you take this message and apply it to each person individually. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to connect with us, text CONNECT to 71010 or visit gatewaypeople.com. We hope you have a great week.